thank you for that song. Very beautiful song, very beautifully done, and I appreciate it very much. And I appreciate the opportunity to be back in chapel here today at Ambassador. And God has worked in my life through the years, through the ministry of Dr. Comfort, now through Dr. Bill, and I appreciate all of their prayers and their steadfastness and their love for the Lord, their love for young people. We have a great opportunity to serve in this day. A nation divided needs a church united, and we need to humble ourselves and seek God and turn from our own wicked ways and ask God for His mercies to be upon us and upon our land and our churches, our homes. God has been faithful to me, and I thank Him for that. God has changed my life when I was a senior in high school 40 years ago and called me to preach shortly thereafter. And God has allowed me and my wife Rebecca to serve Him at Shining Light Baptist Church there in Monroe for almost 31 years now. And He's blessed us with 10 children, and now we have 11 grandchildren. And God is just continuing to open up doors of opportunity. I tell our church that I feel like we're just getting started after all these years. God is always advancing. God is always previous. God is always going before us, knowing the next step that He has for us to take. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God wants us to see where we are from His Word, the mirror of the Scriptures, the light of the truth. God's showing us who we are and where we are and whose we are and where He wants us to go, where He wants to take us going forward in life. And so I'm thrilled today to know that we have the light of truth and we have the hope of Christ's presence in us, working through us, for us, and on our behalf. And I'm happy to be saved today, aren't you? I'm happy to know the Lord and to be able to serve Him and to do His will for my life. And I want to serve Him with my whole heart. I want to do God's will in season, out of season, when everything in my life is coming together, when everything is coming apart. I've learned that Christ is not only faithful, He's not only trustworthy, He is worthy of my trust, total trust, complete trust. I can trust Him when all else fails. He is worthy of my confidence and my praise and my service. I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled, Will You Serve Christ for Christ's Sake Alone? Will you serve Christ for Christ's sake alone? Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 1, if you'll find your place there. Job chapter 1. I want you to write down three words this morning. And this is just from the Word of God, the heart of God, and from my heart as a servant of the Lord these years. I want you to write down the word motive. We understand this man, Job. And he was a man that loved God, he feared God, and eschewed evil. Chapter 1 and verse 1 says, he was of the land of Uz, a region south of Eden, the west of the Arabian desert, extending into Chaldea. And he was a man that was sincere. He was perfect in that regard. He was sincere and upright before the Lord. And he feared God. He loved what God loved, and he hated what God hates. That's what it means to fear God, also to have an utter dread of displeasing God, of dishonoring God, to love what God loved, to embrace what God wanted him to embrace for his life. That's who Job was. That's what he was all about. And God had blessed him in abundance. Him and his wife had 10 children themselves, like me and my wife, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the day came when God, not Satan, but God asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He said, "Oh yeah, I've noticed him. I've watched him, and I've pondered who he is and what he does and why he does it." In verse 9, we read, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Oh, think about this, friend. The word motive. The book of Job is not so much about why we suffer, but why we serve. Why are we serving God today? What are we willing to, endure, to take on, to trust God with, to trust God for? Do we serve Him because of who He is and what He's done for us in the sense of Calvary, or what He can do for us yet, what we want Him to do with our lives? I remember sitting in Bible college. That's been a long time ago for me. I was always wondering who my wife would be and what our children would look like. Now, I never thought about having 10 children. Never entered my mind. But that's what God had for me. And I look back on His faithfulness and I see His mercies in my life. And I think about that. I think about God has been good to me. What if I lost all 10 children at once? I will tell you, we cannot even fathom the depth of grief and loss. God has blessed me and I thank Him for it. There's been so much that God has given, and then there's been a lot that God has taken from me. Am I able, am I willing by faith to trust Him and say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away? Job offered up the worship of acceptance. I want you to see this. Notice this over here in verse number 21, the latter part of Job chapter 1. We see where he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He lost the blessings, but the blesser remained. You're going to learn that in life, that blessings can come and go, but the blesser remains. God is faithful. He's worthy of your service, your life, even your sacrifice, whatever it costs you to serve Him and do His will. He is worthy because of who He is. He is God. And one great lesson God has taught me in all these years is that He is God and I am not. I remember telling the Lord one day in prayer, and I was serious and I was sincere. I said, Lord, now, as best I know, I love You with my whole heart. And if I was You, I wouldn't do this to me. I said, I don't think that I need this, Lord. And I'm glad God has a way of weaning us from our self-sufficiency, our own pride that we don't recognize that is in us all, right? He has a way of weaning us from that and showing us that He is God and we are not. We can trust Him. We can serve Him just because of who He is, not because of what He might do for us. Some people think serving God is their guarantee that bad things aren't going to happen to them. But God only gives us a guarantee of His presence and His faithfulness and His peace. When all other things in life come unraveled, when all of life falls apart, we still have Him. Why are you serving God? Will you serve Christ for Christ's sake alone? I want you to write down a second word here, and it's the word measure. The word measure. We're going to look here at verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And then the Bible says in verse number 16, while he was yet speaking, there came another. And then in verse 17, there came also another. And verse 18, there came also another. How far will you go with God? Well, I've bore this, I've endured that, I've faced that challenge and had to deal with the other, and yet hear this on top of all that. How far will you go with God today? Can I just talk to you from the Lord's heart, His Word, and my heart? Man, when I was in Bible college, I was so idealistic. I really thought everything would be up, 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 and I'm going to serve God. I mean, I died to self. I said no to the world. I had some opportunities and college-wise and scholarship-wise, and I was a singer, and I got saved. God called me to preach. I never thought about being a preacher. never entered my mind, but it was God's will for my life. And I said, Lord, I'll go. Lord, I'll serve. Lord, I'll do your will. I will honor you, Lord, with my life. And I thought everything would come together at certain points. And yet there were times when everything fell apart. Then this fell apart. Then that fell apart. And you know what I learned? I learned even in those moments that He's still God. He's still good. His Word is still true. And you can trust Him. See, I've learned it because I've not only read it here, but I've lived it in my life. Sometimes, I mean, it went from bad to worse. I was looking forward to for good to come and behold evil. And it's like, Lord, when are you going to turn this thing around? And so many times as a younger preacher, I was looking for acceptance, I learned looking back. I was looking for affirmation. I grew up in a broken home. And I never had the opportunity to play ball, though I loved it because I had to work and provide for the family. All seven of my boys played ball, and we had a great time. I mean, we had a great time. We traveled everywhere playing ball. And, you know, I just had so many things that I was looking for. I was wanting someone. I remember saying it out loud one day, Lord, I just wish somebody believed in me. And some of you carry that in your heart today. I wish somebody believed in me. Well, I want to tell you today, there is a God in heaven who believes in what He can do in your life and through your life for His name's sake. If you'll just come to the place to where you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you for your sake. Whatever you do with my life or not, that's in your hands. That's not my call, God. That's your call. I'm going to yield my all to you. I'm going to find my acceptance in Christ. I am accepted in the Beloved. Praise God for that. Oh, there's a wonderful Savior who beckons you. Serve me. Go all the way with me. Don't come to a place to where you say, this is far as I go. This is where I get off. What did Job say about that? Though he what? Slay me. Yet will I trust in Him. I can say after 40 years of preaching God's Word, it's not in me. There's no goodness here. Any goodness that's been done in my life is because of who He is and what He did for me on Calvary. And I rest in that. And that's more than enough. We all like to be applauded, right? We all like to be appreciated. A lot of times you will be in the Lord's work, but sometimes you won't be. Will you serve Him then? How far will you go with God? The first word is the word motive. The second word is the word measure. And then write down this third word here is the word metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, metal. I want you to write that word down. We're going to look here in verse number 4. The Bible says, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, chapter 2 and verse 4. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. The word metal has the thought of how you respond to pressure or deep pain. How are you going to respond to it? He said, there's a point there. You push him just far enough, he's going to curse you. I wonder what we're going to come down on the side of when it comes to serving God with our lives. Not only why we serve God and how far are we willing to go, but what are we willing to bear for Christ's sake? What will He call upon you to endure, to trust Him with? I mean, what about the life of Joseph? Misunderstood, misrepresented, scorned, tossed aside. I'll tell you one thing I've learned through the life of Joseph and so many others in the Scriptures. I've lived it myself. They took so much from him. Remember what he said to the baker and the butler there in prison? He said, I was robbed. I was stolen out of my land. I'm telling you, I missed it all. Finishing growing up with my dad and my homeland. And here I've been just put in prison in an unjust way. It was all just stolen from me. I was robbed. You know what? Some of us can say that today. There's some things taken from us, our childhood, our innocence, our youth, our opportunities that we might have wanted in life, and we want them so deeply. But yet, when you study the life of Joseph, we know how it all ended, right? And by the way, your story has not finished yet. It's not over yet. I was asked some years ago to present my testimony to the Unshackled radio broadcast. And I just have prayed about it through the years. It's been some years now. And I said, when the right timing is there, I know God will make that known to me. But I feel like there's some other parts of the story He's still writing that He wants included in that testimony so He can get the greatest glory through my life. I said, so let's just wait. And I'm still waiting. But I have started writing. And I'm learning some things about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. I'm telling you, you talk about somebody who was energetic, wide open. I'm telling you, going all out for God. Boy, I've run day and night. And God has been faithful. But where I began to grow weary in heart and mind or body, I found God ever faithful. And God at work, God unveiling His plan like He did for Joseph. We all know how it ended with Joseph, right? I want to tell you, God is writing your story. He's writing a testimony of who He is on your behalf. Will He get glory through your life? Will you make it about yourself? My dad left our home years ago when I was in the fourth grade. I struggled so with that. Oh, how I struggled, especially as a younger man in Bible college. I'd struggle with that. My mom lost heart, threw her life to the wind. I became the head of the house when I was 12 years old. Worked public work ever since. And then God called me and directed me in the ministry. I struggled with that. My dad died back in 09, my mom in 2012. Let me tell you what God's done for me. I'm glad I didn't write that testimony years ago for that broadcast, because then I might have had a little edge about me. Let me tell you what my dad did. You know, Mom, bless her heart, but here's what she did. God broke me one day in the woods while I was praying. He said, this isn't about you. It's not about Mom and Dad. Don't you dishonor your parents. Are you listening? Some of you struggling with what your dad's done, what your mom's done. Now, I know we all look the part today, but I know we're all real people, right? And we got a heart. And some of our hearts have been broken very deeply. And God told me, He said, spoke to my heart. His Spirit bear witness with mine. We understand that. Don't dishonor your parents. Honor me. I'm glad when God turned my testimony around and it became less about what I endured and what I faced and what I went through and how people treated me and what I was robbed from. And I'm not minimizing that at all. But it became a testimony of a God who was with me, a God who was for me, a God who was working on my behalf. It became that kind of testimony in my life. God began to get glory. I was in Israel and we were walking through the springs of En-Gedi just a couple years ago. And I saw where David was kind of hid out from Saul and those refreshing waters falling down and the Dead Sea in the distance and a little alcove there carved out of the side of the mountain and where he found refuge. And the Lord reminded me, I've been your refuge all these years. Everything you've been looking for in life, you have already had in me. Young person, servant of the Lord, I want to tell you, whatever God calls upon you to endure, He will not only sustain you and give you the grace that you need, but He will bring good out of bad, blessing out of cursing. And there's a God in heaven who could turn this thing all the way around. No matter what you face. Are you willing to bear it? Are you willing to believe God? Are you willing to trust God? Do you believe that God is in control of your life? Personalize this. Oh, yes, God's in control. Oh, yes, God is providential. How is God providentially directing you today? Hold your place here. I want you to see something. Turn with me back in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. I want you just to see this. In 2 Kings chapter 6, remember when Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes? His servant, when the Syrians came down upon them and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. And then notice verse 18. I'd never seen this until recently. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Think about that. I realize that God is able to open eyes and only God can. And I'm praying that God will not only open my eyes even more and give me clarity that we get from His Word, but I'm praying that He'll open the hearts and minds and eyes of others that I'm working with. But He can not only open people's eyes, He can close people's eyes. Do you realize that? Look with me over here in Psalm 105. I want you to see this. I was reading this one day some years back and I thought, wow. I was speaking of Joseph, Psalm 105. The Bible says he called for the famine. And by the way, God's called for pestilence. He's sovereign, right? He's allowed this virus that we're all facing and we're all trying to navigate it. And we're trying to deal with it in faith, I trust, right? God, teach us through this. God told His people in the Old Testament, when a famine comes, that's one of my ways of getting your attention. Don't jump ship like Elimelech did in the book of Ruth. He lost his life and his two sons lost his life down there in Moab when they left the place of bread, Bethlehem, Judah. God was trying to prove them and bring them to a place of submission and trust. But he abandoned the Lord and it cost him and his boys everything. But God was still sovereign and working in that regard. As God used a famine to get Jacob and his other sons down to Egypt, where Joseph already was, God had sent him before them to preserve many people alive. What they meant for evil, God meant for what? For good. And so think about it. As God used that famine to direct them, God is using this pestilence to direct many others in this day. People are making decisions now that they would not have made outside of this context, right? But God's still sovereign. You believe that? He's still providential. He's still working in your life. What does the Bible say? Psalm 105 and verse 17. After he called for the famine, we see there in verse 16, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. Underline that word hurt. Sometimes God's going to let us be hurt in His service, doing His will. Sometimes very deeply. Like Job, we can't even imagine the hurt. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron until the time. Underline that. God has a timing in all of our lives that His word came and the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Now get it, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Here's what else God did. He turned their heart, the Egyptians' heart, to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. And then he sent Moses and Aaron, his servants. You see what God is doing here? God was turning the hearts of the Egyptians against His people. We want everybody singing our praise, right? We want everybody cheering us on. We want everybody affirming us, applauding us and saying, good job! Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. That's not always the response you're going to get. You're going to have to settle in it that you have nothing to prove. You have one to please. Lord, are you pleased with my life? I was reading years ago on my knees. I said, Lord, I just want to please you. I want to please you. And then I was reading Isaiah 53 and it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Let me think about that, Lord. please the Lord to bruise him. He touched Joseph, and then he turned the hearts of the Egyptians against him and his brethren. You know why? God there, in the fiery trials of Egypt, was forging a new nation, a people for his name, the apple of his eye. And to accomplish his sovereign will, he had to turn the hearts of the Egyptians against his people, so they might cry and sigh. What are we going to do? You're going to have those moments. If you serve God over the long haul, you're going to have those moments. What are we going to do? How many times my wife and I have had those conversations? And I've always said, we're just going to trust God. We have to trust God. There's no other option. But I've told her, I've said, haven't we found him trustworthy? And she said, we have. Let's just keep going. Let's trust him by faith. Because sometimes people's hearts were turned against us, and it broke our hearts deeply. I remember after we had our 10th child, it was a last-minute, unexpected C-section. And then after that, postpartum blues, and then 10 children caring for her, and a husband who's a pastor and administrator of a school, and our lives were nonstop. I remember coming home one day, and she was sitting on the bed just crying. I called for her. I said, Rebecca. And I didn't hear anything. I thought, well, I know she's here. And so I went in the back, and she was just sitting on the bed just weeping. I just went over to her and I put my arm around her. I said, I don't know what all you're thinking, feeling, or carrying right now, but I know this, God is with us. And we're going to get through this together. She told me some time later, a long time later even, she said, remember when you came and sat down beside me, put your arm around me, and said, we're going to trust God and we're going to get through this? I said, yeah, I remember that. She said, that was a turning point in my life, in my heart. At that moment, I took heart and said, God, I'm going to trust you. You know what? We both say, we found him trustworthy. Because there were times when we were crushed. But notice here in Psalm 106, it's powerful, it's beautiful. The Bible says, there are times when he had to chasten his people. And yet, in verse number 44 of Psalm 106, we read, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant. We might forget God, but he will always remember us. He will never forget us. He repented according to the multitude of his mercies. God doesn't change his mind. That's not what the word repent means when it comes to God. It simply means that God responds to our response to him. If we will humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, God will turn from the chastisement that he was using to get our attention, so we would turn back to him from our wicked ways. The Bible says he made them also to be what? Verse 46. To be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Wow, God can turn people's hearts away from us. He can turn people's hearts toward us. You see that? God can open eyes. God can close eyes. I'm telling you, you and I are serving a God who is great, who is sovereign. He's in control. And even when bad things come our way, when pain comes into our lives, when we are hurt, when we are rejected, when there is a sense of just insufficiency, and what was I thinking, and why are we doing this to start with? Why do we even stay? Why do we keep going? When all of that sets in, back in our text here in the book of Job, chapter 2, remember that set in for Job's wife. She said, I mean, we're finished. It's just time to curse God and die. We've lost all our kids. I mean, we've just about raised all of our 10 children, and the empty nest is an unending reality for us. But the one who deals with it at a deeper level is my wife. And she's like, I poured my heart and soul in these kids. And it's like, all of a sudden one day, it's like, bye, Mom. See, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, where are you going? I wasn't thinking about you ever leaving. I love you so, we'll just stay around forever. And now you're gone. I thought about that. I think about Job's wife. Oftentimes people are chiding her, you know, and her unbelief, and, you know, and why would she say something like that? I'll tell you, when a man's world is falling apart and his wife's world is falling apart, sometimes it's not a pretty sight. You know what I learned about love? See, I thought everything was going to be so ideal. Love was just going to be so picture perfect and pristine. And I was just going to relish all the love that was coming into my life. Let me tell you what I learned about love. Sometimes true love, which is a loyal, devoted, sacrificial commitment. True love gives. It doesn't take. True love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and it endures all things. Many waters cannot quench true love, right? And right here, this is a messy sight. Job's got boils head to toe. The fresh graves of their children in the background. All their increase forever gone. Any hope of any life, any future, dashed to smithereens. It's an ugly sight. Can I remind us all this morning? Calvary was not a pretty picture. He despised the shame. That crown of thorns, the spear in his side, the nails in his hands and his feet. Can you imagine our Lord? The blood that was shed. Calvary wasn't a pretty sight. It was a messy place. But that's where the greatest love that's ever been shown was demonstrated, on the cross. Greater love, no greater love than this, that a man do what? Lay down his life for his friends. See, I want to help you today. I pray the Holy Spirit will do this. You come to a point in your life, if you're trying to walk with the Lord, where it dawns on you, so this is love. So this is love. I've had a couple of those moments. I call it the voila moments. The light comes on. It's like, wow, I see it. Years ago, I thought, so this is faith one day. I didn't see God, sense God, feel God, understand or perceive where He was, what He was doing in my life. And then I thought, in the rawness of my genuine vulnerability at that point, I thought, so this is faith. What is faith? Taking God at His word and obeying. That's it. If I feel it, if I don't feel it, if it makes sense, if it doesn't make sense, if it all works out, I did what God said, and look how He blessed it. What if you did what God said, and all of a sudden everything came apart? He's still God, and He will test our love and our loyalty and our devotion to Him and one another, and sometimes in the very messes of life. See, we want to run from the messes, especially in ministry. We want everybody looking just the same and just like us, and everybody's got life figured out, because you know what? That's what church is, right? It's a museum for us saints to kind of be in awe of one another. I'll tell you, let's be reminded this morning, the church is not a museum for us. It's a hospital for sinners. And the further Paul went, the more he realized of who I am chief. So I'm the chiefest of sinners. He didn't feel like he impressed God even more and more as he went. He was impressed with God and less with himself. I'm nothing without you, Lord. I sure need you. And here's the good thing about that. When you come to that place, you'll find Him present and faithful. See, right here in the midst of this heartache, this curse God and die, it's over, and then His friends here. Do you remember what happened in chapter 2? And the Bible says in verse number 12, they came and saw him at a distance. They lifted up their eyes from afar off and knew him not. They knew him not. It's like they didn't even recognize him. Isaiah 52 says about our Savior that his visage, his face was so marred, they didn't even recognize him. You couldn't even recognize he was a man, much less what man he was, who he was. But he was so marred because he so loved the world. That's you and that's me. True love is willing to be marred, willing to be hurt, willing to be scarred, willing to just bear all things and believe all things and hope all things and just endure all things. As a young Bible college student, I couldn't imagine some of the things God would include in that all things category for me. But all things includes all things, right? Things that we can think of, things that we can't even fathom that God will allow. But life itself, fallen people in a fallen world, sometimes it just gets messy. And if we're not careful in Bible college, we're so idealistic and we miss the reality of what it is to get in the trenches and roll up our sleeves and take people where they are. I'm glad that's what Jesus did for me. He took me where I was and lifted me up out of the miry clay, the mess of my sin. But here's what I've learned. If we'll trust God by faith and endure with His help, whatever He allows in His sovereign purpose for our lives, we'll find not only His grace sufficient, but I'll tell you what we'll find. We'll find that there's nothing that can separate us from His love. Nothing. Now, I don't know where a message like this finds you this morning, but I'm praying that God will take it. I wish I'd heard something like this years ago. I always thought about, you know, if you serve God, if you pray, if you do this, if you knock on doors, this is what's going to happen and God's going to do this. And here's the formula. Work the formula and it'll work every time. It'll all come together. Oh, we face some things as a family. We face some things in our church. I tell you, I thought this matter of giving myself and my situations to God, sometimes it wasn't easy. And I remember we were building a building. In fact, we're just now getting it finished. Just now. After many years. I'm glad in the Bible there are times when the building was delayed 10 years, 12 years. You know, it kind of gave me hope, right? I thought, well, God's in control. Let me tell you, I've learned this. Give God the bad that comes in your life, and if you'll trust Him and be faithful to Him, He'll bring good out of it in His time. And people cannot take more from you than God will give back to you if you'll be faithful to Him. Because at that time, people pulled out and said, well, what are you going to do without us and without our money, preacher, to finish this project here? I'm telling you, it killed me. I died 1,000 deaths when I heard what had happened in this particular situation. It took my breath away, and I just basically fell back in my chair in my study one day. I said, surely not. Surely not. But I'll tell you, I have learned because I've lived it. I'm telling you, I read it in the Bible, but I can testify of it firsthand. There is a God in heaven who'll be faithful to you. And if you will humble yourself before Him when everything falls apart, see, that's what true love is. Can you say, I do love you, Lord. I do trust you. I've not been serving you just because of, oh, God's going to bless me and I want all those blessings. Oh, the blessings come, but the blessings can go. But the blesser you will find will remain, and that's all you need. Love sometimes is just so messy. But you know what? Job stayed. He stayed faithful to God. He stayed faithful to his wife. To his wife's credit, she stayed. You know what? Through it all, God in His time brought good out of bad, turned the thing around, gave them twice as much as they had before, and because they stayed somehow holding on, because there was true love there, God not only gave them increase materially, but He gave them 10 more children. 10 in heaven, 10 on the earth, 20 children. Can you imagine that? Now, that is amazing. We've already had 10. I can't imagine 10 more. Goodness. But you know what? God was faithful. And I'm telling you, young person, the book of Job is not so much about why we suffer, but it's about why we serve. And I know you've got great expectations. I'll tell you, that's what I'm saying. I find myself living somewhere in the realm between the ideal and the real. I'm normally caught between the two. The way I'm thinking, the way I'm hoping, the way I'm praying, oh God, work it out this way. Oh God, I believe you, believing you for this, Lord. And sometimes the Lord says, all right, that's what I'm going to do. And sometimes the Lord says, well, you know, I've got a higher purpose. In fact, I've got a greater plan. Trust me. Trust me. If I could say anything to you as young Bible college students, professors, others here, I would say that along this journey, people say, how's life treating you? Sometimes life hasn't been too good to me, and it won't be good to each of us at some point, circumstantially and otherwise. But I can say this, there's a God in heaven who's been good to me. He's been faithful to me, and I praise Him. And everything I was looking for all along as a younger preacher, I have found in Jesus Christ. And here's the beauty of it. Others' response to His word is not my responsibility. I give that and them to Him. I don't need that to affirm me. I'm already accepted in Christ. And my identity in Christ, hey, I want to tell you, that's all I need. And I'm very happy about that. I want to serve the Lord and do His will with my whole heart. I'll close with this. We won't turn there, but I hope you'll write down the reference, Isaiah 38. Remember when Hezekiah was sick unto death and he was told, you're going to die. So he prayed and cried out to the Lord, and God said, all right, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears, and we'll give you 15 more years. Remember that? He recounts that prayer, Isaiah 38, verse 9 through 20. And there's a little phrase in there that I hope you'll look up at some point. It says, O Lord, I am oppressed. That means I'm heavy laden. I'm burdened down. I'm underneath the load, Lord. O Lord, I am oppressed. And here's these little words he prayed. Undertake for me. I was in such a time some time back to where all I could pray was just that little prayer, undertake for me, Lord. I found that word undertake, it has the thought, it's a couple different angles or aspects you could consider. One would be to braid, to intertwine, the thought of entering into. I'm glad God can enter into our burdens and problems with us when we give them to Him in faith. But another thought is it means to be a guarantor for. In other words, it's like a cosigner. What does a cosigner say to the bank? Well, Mr. Banker, if this person, say my son, comes up short for any reason and is not able to pay the balance on this note, I will step in on his behalf and make up the difference. I'm good for it. I'll co-sign this note. That's a picture of our God. God knows that we all have sinned and come short of His glory. Thank God where we came up short, Jesus stepped in on our behalf and made up the difference. Aren't you thankful for that? I tell you, when you're troubled and tried and there's a need in your life, I have found this. Oh, I've seen it. I've lived it. I told the church, God gives you faith to believe He'll do something, and when He does it, you say, I can't believe it. I literally can't believe it. We're living it. God has been faithful. Look what God has done. I'll tell you, I've seen the Lord where we came up short. I remember somebody asked me, I said, well, how are you going to finish these projects without our money, preacher? And I said, we're going to have to trust God. And we did trust God. And I found God was trustworthy. And God gave us far more than we would have ever gotten otherwise. And I'm seeing God do things now after 30 years that I prayed for 25 years ago. I thought would surely be done 20 years ago. Surely it will be. But you know what? He's God, and I'm not. And He's worthy of my trust. I'm just going to keep trusting Him. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep growing, because I can tell you this. I heard Dr. King say this years ago, God is more concerned about the work He's doing to you than the work He's doing through you. And as a younger preacher, I thought, well, that sounds kind of good, but I know we got to get it done. There's plenty to do for God. Let's get after it. Isn't it amazing how the Lord has a way of teaching you and emptying you of yourself? Because God truly brought me to that place, and I thought, wow, Lord, just make me more like You. Make me love You and serve You and reflect Your heart, Your mind, Your spirit, Your character, Your integrity through my life, Lord. Make me more like Thee. So I ask you this morning, will you serve Christ for Christ's sake alone? In the ebb and flow of life and the give and take, God's going to bring you to a place to where you say, hey, so this is love. All the dressings and trappings that would be so drawing to me, all of that has been consumed in the fiery furnace of affliction. But even there, I find that He's still God, and He's still good. And by His grace, I'm going to keep trusting and obeying Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed before the Lord.